hands of the dancers. I used the hand-holding as a controlling image in the piece for three boys and a girl. If it felt right to the artist drawing the figures on the pottery, it felt right to me as well. Ancient memory was at work. Once you realize the power of memory, you begin to see how much is at your disposal in previously underappreciated places. The trick is figuring out how to tap into it. You can't always wait for a photo of an ancient pot to appear in the science section of the New York Times and jolt you into action. Sometimes you have to be proactive about mining the veins of memory within you. Maybe it's because I was an art history major whose basic education was how to look, but I am magnetically drawn to images, whether they're paintings, photographs, film, or video. They are all lodestones of inspiration to me. In my senior year, when I was torn between my art studies and a consuming urge to dance, I used to comfort myself by camping out in the dance collection of the New York Public Library. I'm not sure what motivated me to do this. It wasn't as if I woke up one day and announced, "Okay, I'm going to look at dance pictures today." But I was an art student, looking at photographs of paintings and sculpture all day long and believing that everything in a picture was there for a reason. It was only logical that one day I asked myself, "Why aren't I looking at pictures of dance? That's what I'm really interested in." So I did. The New York Public Library houses one of the world's great dance archives. I asked the curator to bring me photos of the women pioneers of dance: Isadora Duncan, Ruth St. Denis, Doris Humphrey, Martha Graham. I could read their movement vocabulary from those photographs, keeping what was useful to me and ignoring what wasn't. I would slide my hands over the plates, trying to connect with how they moved by how they looked, frozen in time. It had nothing to do with their faces or makeup or clothes. Nothing connected to their glamour or my vanity. I was trying to absorb how their bodies worked, taking their movement potential out of their bodies and imprinting it on my own, just as I did every day in class as I worked in the footsteps of great dancers. A famous picture of Doris Humphrey nude in a circle, though obviously posed, fascinated me because she totally lacked self-consciousness. I could clearly see what her body was doing, and I could see what obvious relish she took in fulfilling that position in the circle. Her feeling of pride also imprinted itself on me. I would pore over a Martha Graham picture so intently that I could gauge the size of her footsteps or feel her body's tension as she torqued inside her costume. If a picture is a memory captured, then these great dance photos helped me capture a new memory. The archival images came to me through my eyes, and I absorbed them first in my brain, then in my body, and finally in my own memory. Once they were locked in me, I was free to call on them any time. If one day I was stuck, I could ask myself, "How would Martha move?" Or, "What would Doris Humphrey feel like?" I could harness their memory as easily as if it were my own and use the things they were using to fashion my own solutions. In a sense, I was apprenticing myself to these great women, much as Proust had to Ruskin and Chandler to Hemingway. A young friend of mine recently described an internship he was about to begin. He called the process shadowing, following around a mentor and learning from him. That's what I was doing in the archives, shadowing my predecessors. This is how you earn your ancestry. Exercises. 7. Name that muse. Here's an exercise in associative memory for you. Below, I've listed the 9 muses, those brilliant and charming and vexing daughters of Zeus and Mnemosyne, who held sway over the classical arts. You can remember them through fierce application of direct rote repetition. or you can attach to each some imagery or memory that the name or subject triggers as you look at the list. The latter works better. You might even find yourself honoring their mother by inventing a little memory aid or ditty, a mnemonic, to bring the nine names to mind. Calliope, epic poetry. Cleo, history. Erato, love poetry and lyric poetry. Euterpe, music. Melpomene, tragedy. Polyhymnia, sacred song. Terpsichore, dance and choral song. Thalia, comedy. Urania, astronomy. How would I remember the nine names? Can clear, earnest effort make proper things total up? That might help. The first letters of the nine words in that last sentence match the first letters of the names of the muses. But how do you associate each with her field? The easy ones are Urania, sounds like the planet Uranus, hence astronomy. Polyhymnia, hymns are sacred songs. And Erato, Eros means love. What do the other six remind you of? Can you connect them to their domains? And what types of memory do you use in calling forth those images? Remembering the muses is no shortcut to creative bliss, though it will make crossword puzzles easier and classicists smile. And perhaps this nod in their direction will cause them to visit you when you need their help. 8. Trust your muscle memory. For this exercise, you'll have to come up with a simple set of discrete moves. Don't worry if you've never invented movement before. You're testing your body's memory, not choreographing for Broadway. And don't try to fink out by claiming you have no space. Push the furniture back, create a small patch, and get to work. Take a set of 10 moves. For example, raise your right arm, lift your left foot, drop the left foot. Pivot 180 degrees to your right, on your left foot, drop the right arm. Putting your hands on your hips, bend forward from the waist. Then straighten up. Now turn 180 degrees to your right, on your left foot, and scoot forward on both feet. This is a phrase. Repeat it 5 times the first day,